persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. The Brain Massage Show is ready to go. Get ready. Your brain is about to get a massage. Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on standby. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
I don't trust any government that does not trust the people with arms sufficient to protect themselves against criminals, including terrorists, any invading force hostile to our liberties, and against a rogue government depriving the people of their inalienable rights. I'm somewhat like our founders in that regard. The government has it exactly backwards today. We, the people, grant to the government any right to bear arms they might presume to have. We provide the guns and we direct how they're to be used. We tell them who can carry guns on behalf of the government. It's not the other way around, which is the whole point of the Constitution, by the way. Our Constitution begins, quote, "We, the people of the United States of America," and it proceeds to delineate the purpose for which it was written. 1, to form a more perfect union. 2, to establish justice. 3, to ensure domestic tranquility. 4, to provide for the common defense. 5, to promote the general welfare. And 6, to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. It is July the 4th weekend. We will celebrate the Declaration of Independence. I'll be preaching a message titled, A Renewed Declaration, in which I'll show from Scripture that Christ, the ordaining power of Romans 13, has risen from the dead, declaring liberty and justice for all. Now, that's Sunday morning at 10:45. Don't miss it. Now, by the way, if you want to know your Bible, you know that book that serves as the ground upon which our Declaration and Constitution stand. Join me for my Bible study called Know Your Bible, in which we're introducing every book in the Bible, and we've worked so far from Genesis through Hebrews. When we finish the New Testament, I'll be offering a verse-by-verse introduction to the book of Revelation with a preparatory study of Daniel. So let's get ready for your brain massage today. I don't trust any government that does not trust the people with arms sufficient to protect themselves against criminals and to defend their liberties from terrorists and other murderers, such as an invading force from outside the United States or from within them, foreign or domestic, exactly like our founders, who stood defiant against their own government when it became tyrannical against their liberties and took up arms to defend those liberties. Let those today who would, like King George, whose whipping we celebrate every July 4th, be given notice. And let every July 4th be the service of that notice, a reminder to every fascist tyrant, enemy of our liberty, whether foreign or domestic, that our God has given us the right to defend ourselves against terrorists, foreign or domestic. Our founders were branded rebels by Britain back in 1776. But the truth is, Britain's king and their parliament at that time were the rebels. They rebelled against the Lord, against his anointed, and against their own constitutions. And like Haman of old, conspired to destroy those that would refuse to bow to any man who called himself a king. Well, we need to remember on this July 4th that we don't kiss Papa's ring and we don't bow to kings. Haman sought to destroy the people of God in Esther's day, but God turned the law around, allowing the people of God to defend themselves. Oh, we have a law in this land, a decree in our land that guarantees to every citizen the right to defend themselves against any Haman tyrant that would come along and seek our destruction. And that law for us was born on July 4th, 1776. And this principle is alive and well in America, despite all the efforts of those in this country who believe government has all the rights and all the power and the people are its subjects. You know, every time some radical jihad-headed terrorist goes on a murdering rampage killing Americans, or exploding themselves as human bombs in airports, as recently they did in Istanbul, and our prayers are with you, and we pray unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only true King. Every time one of these things goes down, the liberty-hating, Christ's rule-denying, freedom-backstabbing robbers of our national treasury attempt to grab up our guns, attempt to restrict our liberty, attempt to increase their infringement upon our right to bear arms. But the American people, we the people, who agree with our founders, go out and buy all the guns they can find. Isn't that interesting? It's an inspiring testament that the flame of liberty still burns in the hearts of many Americans. Jesus said, get a sword, and so we must. For self-defense and to defend our liberties from enemies, foreign and domestic. Here's what our founders said. Well, I wish I had time. I have quotes from George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, George Mason, Noah Webster, James Madison, Richard Henry Lee, Patrick Henry, Sam Adams, Joseph Stowe. We can go back into Blackstone Locke, all the way back into the Bible. And all these testify to the truths articulated by the two founders I've decided to quote for the show today. Jefferson, quote, the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government, end quote. You understand, these guys just came out of the Revolutionary War. The laws that forbid the carrying of arms and then disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides. For an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. One more from Jefferson, quote, the Constitution of most of our states and of the United States assert that all power is inherent in the people, that they may exercise it by themselves, that it is their right and duty to be at all times armed, end quote. And now Alexander Hamilton, for it is a truth, he said, which the experience of ages has attested, that the people are always most in danger when the means of injuring their rights are in the possession of those of whom they entertain the least suspicion. Now think about that. And he goes on, if circumstances should at any time oblige the government to form an army of any magnitude, that army can never be formidable to the liberties of the people, while there is a large body of citizens, little, if at all, inferior to them in discipline and in the use of arms, who stand ready to defend their own rights and those of their fellow citizens. This appears to me the only substitute that can be devised for a standing army and the best possible security against it if it should exist, end quote. Now, I don't have to spell out to you what these guys are saying. They understood something we're forgetting. They tell us these days, well, it's all different now. Is it? Anyone that cannot see the rise of a monarchy-like, king-like authority invested in the presidency these days is just flat-out blind. And the presumption of our court in inventing rights that don't exist while infringing egregiously upon our natural or inalienable rights that do exist is a growing concern of all God-fearing patriots that have sense. Lately, our Supreme Court ruled against a Texas law requiring abortion clinics to meet the same health and safety standards required of all other medical service providers. And why? Well, because that would cause undue burden on the right of abortion. I remand you to the court of heaven. As a king and priest unto God, and as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. Go ahead and roll your eyes. I call the judge of all the earth to judge you, foolish judges of this earth. You would reprove a state that wants to extend the same protections against unsafe medical practices that are accepted by every other state and by every reasonable mind to include the invasive surgical operation whereby a doctor invades the protective womb of a woman to destroy, to brutally mutilate, or burn to death a child. And you think making these ministers of death meet the same standards as other medical professionals would be placing undue burden on the right to an abortion? Hey, I thought the whole point of legalized abortion was to make it safe. You wicked hypocrites. You would violate the common sense and decent regard for human life to protect a legally created right, not an inalienable right endowed by God, but really an artificial man-made contrived right of a woman to murder her own child, and you do that in the name of being humane, violating the most fundamental of all inalienable rights, the right to life. Listen, God's inalienable right to life cancels your legally invented right to kill. You judges of this earth, not all, of course, I know that. We got some good judges like Thomas and some others. But those of you on that court in the majority, you would violate the most fundamental of all human rights, the right to life, to protect a legally contrived right to abortion. And you would go so far out of your way to protect that right against anything you would call infringement or an undue burden, which undue burden in this case is nothing more than a requirement, a common sense requirement that doctors of death be held to the same standards of medical practice all other doctors are held to. You know, and then that same crowd, you know, that support all this, they would place undue burden after undue burden upon undue burden against our right to bear arms equivalent to what's needed to defend our life and liberty. And we want those arms to for our protection, and we want those arms for our safety, and we want those arms to preserve life. Good night if 50 good people in that club had guns, that wicked Omar would have been sent to hell well before he killed 49 and wounded 53. And I'm not using it as a cuss word. Calm down. Every obstacle you put in the way of decent law-abiding citizens infringing our right to bear arms lays the full measure of blame for every life lost on you. Their blood is on your hands. I know. I use the word you when it doesn't apply to everyone listening to me. Come on, give me a break here. It's a rhetorical device that allows me to speak to the evildoer. Why don't you just join me in that and say it with me? You know, that's the idea here, you know. You join me in giving voice to these sentiments. You understand? In other words, I say their blood is on your hands, and you know who I'm talking about. You know I'm talking about those who support abortion and approve the infringement of our Second Amendment rights. And so the idea, you join your voice to mine and you say, yeah, their blood is on your hands. Look, I'm fighting the devil here. And some of these silly Christianettes are throwing rocks at me. It reminds me of my introduction to the Vadio in Hawaiian Gardens when I was a kid. We hadn't lived there a long couple of weeks, I guess. I was out in the corner yard goofing around with my little brother Ronald when a couple of kids rode by on a Stingray bike. Remember those? Real nice, tricked out, banana seat, you know, the works. I waved and said hi. Hadn't met anybody yet. New to the area, you know, thought I'd be nice to my new neighbors. The two kids turned their bike around, came back, and I thought, well, great, we're going to meet some kids on my block, so I walked toward them, but when I got off their bike, they weren't looking very friendly. They had frowns on their faces and fists clenched, and then they started trying to fight me, and I dodged about and held them off as best I could, and I told Ronald, go get Mom, you know, Dad was at work. So he promptly ducked for cover behind a bush and started throwing rocks, trying to hit them, I guess, but he was hitting me. In my case, however, so often, the Christians are throwing their rocks aiming at me. Let's wrap up the first segment. I don't trust any government that does not trust the people with guns. And let me put it to you this way. I don't trust any government with guns that doesn't trust the people with guns. We the people grant to the government the right to bear arms, not the other way around. They don't grant that right to us. We are the possessors of the rights endowed to us by God, not government. We the people grant to the government whatever rights it might presume to have. It's not the other way around. And that's what we remember every July 4th. Hey, all you King Georgies and our government out there, I remand you to the court of heaven, where you are judged. And I warn you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, the Lord of lords, Psalm 2:11 and 12, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. End quote. And you know what, according to Acts 4:25? That passage is God's message to the kings and judges of the earth today. Hold on through the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
We Christians complain when our political leaders compromise their values, show contempt for the truth, and forsake the beliefs of our founders. Yet many Christians compromise their own values and beliefs to stay in churches that have forsaken their founders. The fact is, Christian, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Haven't you noticed that every corruption we complain about in our government began in our churches? The answer is clear. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. Lighthouse Baptist Church has answered the call to return to the old paths. Will you? Join us this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps at church belfry yard, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Folks, I'm on my way to Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon. I'll be leaving Tuesday, the day after July 4th. I'll be coming back July the 16th, but the Brain Massage Show will be posted with fresh insights. In any event, I would certainly appreciate your prayers. On this trip, I'll be speaking with another pastor to a hundred or more Middle East pastors, all gathering together there in Beirut. And my assignment is to preach on prayer and fasting and the relationship of that to kingdom power, to advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ in the wide world. All right, my friends, you know, it's July 4th weekend, and of course, my show is dedicated to July 4th, but I do want to address a couple of things. First, of course, our hearts are heavy for all of those who lost loved ones in Turkey at the airport there in Istanbul. Another attack from Obama-supported ISIS. If you don't find it interesting how aggressively he went after the anti-brotherhood regime in Libya, but keeps dancing around in the ring with ISIS, very, as it were, unseriously, you know, JV team and all that. I mean, he's not even in the ring, really, with ISIS, is he? Just toying with that mess over. And then there's Trump. I guess he's not forgiven the $45 million debt to his own campaign after all. Oh, well. Who knew? Oh, I did. Anyway, I'm just teasing you. But listen, I've got a very important point to make with my Trump-supporting friends. You Trump supporters need to deal with the fact that not everyone who rejects Trump does so because they're politically correct establishment rhinos or because they're for Hillary. Some of us object to Trump for substantial reasons. And you know what? Until those reasons are addressed, frankly, honestly, you can forget about us jumping on your bandwagon. Just like I had to step back and really look hard in order to see that not everyone who supports Trump is culturally and spiritually obtuse and politically brain dead. I admit, that's not true. There are some very savvy, squared away individuals who support Trump. Hard to admit, but they're there. Well, you know what? You're going to have to step back and admit there are some very serious concerns about Trump that need to be addressed. That some of us are opposed to him for very good reasons. Now, frankly, I think you guys blew it, nominated the only candidate that makes Hillary look presidential. Well, I mean, besides Bernie. In my opinion, you fell for the media manipulation game again and allowed them to throw you off with chasing after a red herring. And now you're going to watch them put Trump in the meat grinder. And with his negatives being so high, it will be easy for them to put Hillary and Trump on relatively even ground going into the general. Now, he could win, but he could lose. We'll see. I heard that Trump is a new Christian. Okay. Well, that's great. I haven't heard him say so yet. I haven't heard his testimony. I'm hearing it from other people. Let's hear from him. And let's see some fruit. You know, how about closing down your strip clubs for starters? Now, I'm just one of those old-fashioned Baptists, you know, that says, hey, snake, what brought you to the water? Go and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. However, Trump is right about something else. And when he's right, I promise I'll cheer him on. Hillary is crooked, and no question about that. And she is as guilt-ridden as Judas Iscariot was after the kiss. And I really appreciated Trump's latest email blast calling on Americans to judge Hillary in the court of public opinion on Election Day. That's a very good idea. And we can get together and declare our verdict loud and clear, guilty as charged. Well, I'm all for that. Our corrupted justice system won't do anything about the Clintons. So I guess it's up to us. Declare Clinton guilty of malfeasance in public office in the matter of Benghazi and Emailgate. Lynch, you know, Loretta, that girl that's serving as Attorney General right now for the United States. She met with Bill Clinton. Yeah, while she's considering an indictment against Hillary, meets with Billy. And And we're told, of course, that it was a serendipitous meeting, and all they ever talked about was grandchildren and golf in 102-degree weather in Arizona. So, but to her credit, although it makes me suspicious, she has recused herself from the indictment process regarding hilarity. So we'll see if this paves the way for justice to roll on in, which would be refreshing, or does it simply allow the Clintons to put their people in place to block it or divert it? You know, it's a shame, is it not, that American politics has become so blatantly corrupt that we expect that kind of thing. Now, the only thing that will clean this up is to get God-fearing, genuine Christian people in office throughout our government in every office. But before we can do that, we need authentic Christianity to rise up in the power of God and challenge the devil's hold on our country. So, why aren't you sending support to the Devil Kicking Brain Massage Show? Thank you, by the way, to all of you who do send support into the Brain Massage Show. It's July 4th weekend. On this day, we remember the essential principles of our founding. And the first principle is this: all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And close on the heels of that one is this: freedom is the most effective and important dynamic for encouraging political, economic, and social liberty. I'll be speaking to this Sunday morning with a follow-up Sunday night. Take any situation we face today, and freedom is the best answer to deal with it. The most fundamental dynamic in American life and politics has from our founding been a passion for freedom. Freedom will always serve liberty. Take away freedom and liberty's lost. That, I would think, for all of you is axiomatic. Freedom will never consistently serve vice. That's something you might not have thought about. It will never support vice or violence, for that matter. Understanding that violence is behavior that is in violation, violence, of some inalienable right. And this is because there is a divinely decreed, established, inalienable connection between freedom and truth. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he declared that God's word is truth, and that the church, his church, is the pillar and ground of that truth in every community. When truth is forsaken, freedom is lost, every time. You cannot have freedom without truth. Have you noticed how the homosexual used the freedom that we, meaning we Christians, as we, identifying with our founders, established this Christian nation, one nation under God, afforded to all men the freedom truth bequeaths to all of us equally, Christian or not. All men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And that is a truth that extends freedom to all. And we believe that in principle and in practice. So the homosexual, who equally shares with us in the divinely endowed rights of their Creator, used these rights that we acknowledged in this culture and society to promote their cause in our midst. And they have succeeded in significant measure to advance their cause. But notice with me something important. As they have gained increasing influence in our culture, they are beginning to use the freedoms that we have afforded to them and recognize and acknowledge to them to undermine our freedoms. Why is this? Listen, because they know intuitively that, for example, freedom will allow us to bring out the truth about their behavior, and that will turn hearts of reasonable minds away from their filthy lifestyle and provoke revulsion against their manners. Because truth always does that. It ultimately serves freedom, and freedom will eventually only serve liberty and justice. Another example, freedom is incompatible with vice. This just illustrates it, okay? And so vice must always be, in the end, the enemy of liberty. Vice will use freedom to attack liberty. Vice will use freedom to gain power over you, and then it will turn and take away your liberty. Notice, for example, how vice takes away, by the way, vice is immoral or wicked behavior. That is behavior condemned by the Creator, who endowed to us our inalienable rights, and condemned it through his word of truth. So it also includes bad habits, you know, like smoking, drug use, gambling, pornography, all of that. Notice how these things use freedom to gain control of someone's life, and then inevitably begins taking away their liberty. It'll take away their personal liberty. It'll take away their political liberty. Look, virtues don't behave this way. Virtues require us to control our impulses and inclinations towards evil and to consciously direct our behavior in accordance with the Creator's design and commandments. And virtue always encourages, in the end, freedom. It always bequeaths freedom. Why? Because virtue is connected to truth. And truth sets you free. Notice how vice ultimately works to destroy economic liberty. At first, you know, it's all about freedom to do this and freedom to do that, even though it's contrary to God's truth, right? Freedom, freedom. After a while, that vice begins closing in on you. And like a vice grip, it tightens its hold on you and begins demanding that you commit more and more of your resources to feed that vice that has such a grip on you. You see, vice uses freedom to get you, but it inevitably turns that kind of freedom in vice against your freedom and begins to control you. So you begin losing your freedoms. Virtue is the opposite of this. Virtues keep you free from liberty-stealing vice, the liberty leech of vice, because vice is rooted in lies, a promise of pleasure that hides the hook of death. But virtue steers you away from vice, keeping you free and protecting your liberty. Notice how every vice finally brings those addicted to it into bondage. You become a slave to the vice, but you're always free under virtue. This principle prevails throughout God's creation because of the inalienable connection that God has ordained between truth and freedom. The truth shall make you free. And here is a truth to remember on this July the 4th. And it's one that ought to be remembered every July 4th. In fact, July 4th ought to be to us a reminder to tyrants around the world of what a people dedicated to truth can do. The truth that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. To any King Georgie out there that presumes to usurp God's role in our lives, July 4th declares to you and all you judges of the earth, Psalm 2 verses 10 to 12, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of this earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Come on out Sunday morning, 10:45, for our special July 4th celebration at the Lighthouse, 1310 West Betteryview Road here in Santa Maria. Pray for me as I go to Lebanon. I'll be leaving here July 5th and landing in Beirut, Lebanon on July the 6th. I'll be there until July the 15th. So I appreciate your prayers. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know you see that they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message for me in our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website. It's thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. All one word, lowercase, you know the drill. You'll find there a place to write me an email. So send me a message. Let me know what you think about the topic addressed today. When you call, by the way, if you're in a hurry, just say lights on or lights off and hang up. But if you leave a message for me, I appreciate it. If you want me to call you back, you need to let me know that and leave your number. But I always respond to my emails. Thank you for calling in and writing in. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Ask 100 churchgoers what connects them to their church, and you'll get many different answers. Most, however, would not mention truth as their number one concern. Why? For many, church is about opportunities for socializing or family tradition, and the issue of truth is taken for granted. There's something wrong when a nation boasts 78% of the population is born again, with many of the largest churches in history, and yet we are in a moral freefall, and Christianity is increasingly held in contempt. Think about it.
Want to help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the Spirit? Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
Go to santamarialighthouse.org.
Love him or hate him, the Brain Masseur is going to make you think. The Thought Provocateur is available on the web. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.